Well, I would like to speak to you again this evening about the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. On previous occasions, I've explained to you, and we have been looking at the ways in which God has highly exalted Jesus. Previously, we saw that in his raising Jesus from the dead. We also saw that our Lord Jesus was highly exalted when he was ascended to the Father, his ascension. And last time we looked at this other aspect of the way in which Jesus is exalted by God. He went through his period of humiliation and suffering, but now he is highly exalted, and he's exalted at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So if you ask the question, where is Jesus now? We know where Jesus is. He is at the right hand of the Majesty. That is where the man, Christ Jesus, is to be found. Now, this evening, I want to deal with an additional and very important part of this part of his exaltation, being lifted up to the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. And it's found in a number of places in the Bible, but it's referenced here in our text this evening in Romans 8:34. I'll read it again. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. On the back of the service sheet this evening, I've printed a couple of verses. I think the key verse is, there's a typo on it. It should read at Romans 8:34, but I've included some other verses that I'll be referring to in the sermon. So afterwards this evening, if you said, I can't remember what verses he was referring to, you can read them again. And I've also put a question from the Catechism I'll be referring to shortly. So the subject this evening is what is called the intercession of Christ, which sounds, it's a word we don't normally perhaps use. It sounds like a very complicated word, but it's a very important subject that I want to deal with if I can. First of all, we need to think about, what does the word intercession, or to intercede, mean? What do we mean by the word intercede? We might understand this, humanly speaking, there are times when we intercede for another person. It has the idea of making a request on behalf of another person. So I might intercede on your behalf, and I might go to the third party, and I might appeal or plea your case or represent your case to that third party. And I'm interceding on your behalf. I'm doing what you may not be able to do, and I am greatly helping you. Our subject this evening, though, is the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are some important parallels that we can compare this. So if you think about the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can think about where this work or activity of the Lord Jesus Christ takes place, his intercession. And that is, and we heard it in our reading this evening, at the right hand of the Majesty. We should think about our Lord being engaged and involved in intercession, or interceding for us. So we know where Jesus Christ is now, and one of the things he's actively doing is interceding for us. And when I say us here, I'm referring to all his sheep, all his people, all those who've believed in his name. He actively intercedes for them at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He is there, and our representative there. And I also want to say to you that he's interceding with the Father. And so the interceding here is between the Father, or the Son, and the Father. It's to do with, it's for us, but it's from the Son with the Father. And thirdly, I want to say at the beginning that when we speak of Jesus' intercession, we're speaking about Jesus in his work as a priest, or I should say, as the priest, the high priest. We often speak about the Lord Jesus Christ as our King, and he is. But we also have a priest, and we must go to the priest. And this is no ordinary priest, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. We read these words in Hebrews 8 verse 1. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. So whenever we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got this whole aspect of his work. Sometimes we'll use the word his office. We're used to that idea even in our everyday language, that people have offices. We think of, for example, the king. There's an office that belongs to King Charles when he is crowned. The prime minister, there is an office that he has. And there are functions and duties that are he's responsible for, which are connected to his office as the prime minister. Well, far more importantly, we're speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And as king, he's been exalted in heaven. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him as king. There is no other king to be compared to our Lord Jesus. But we're also to think about him as our great high priest. And he has that office, and that office continues and will continue. And when we speak about his intercession, he is exercising and he is doing his work as our high priest. In the Old Testament, the priest, when he went in to make sacrifices on behalf of the people, we're told that he would wear a breastplate. And on the breastplate would be the 12 tribes, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And at the very least, that reminds you that he doesn't go into the sanctuary as a private person, but as a priest, he goes in there representing the 12 tribes. And he's a representative before God. And it also tells you that there is something about God's holiness and majesty that the people themselves can't go in, but they must obtain access through the high priest who represents them before God. Well, now we read that Christ, our great high priest, he has entered into heaven itself. And when he goes into heaven itself, he goes as the Lord of a people. It is, as it were, that the names of his true brothers, all those who truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the elect of God, he goes into heaven with their names on his heart. And he is our high priest in heaven. And when he goes into heaven, he makes intercession. He will intercede for all those who have believed in him. The weakest of believers benefit from the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. The strongest of believers benefit and rely on the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is in heaven, will do this work until every single one of those who have been given to him by his Father will be gathered to him. That day will come. And when that day finally comes, then the Lord will return. And he will come and gather to him. All will be raised. The dead, our bodies will be raised. And together we will be with the Lord. Now, printed on the bottom of the sheet here, this question from the Catechism, which addresses this particular point, which I thought was helpful. It wasn't long ago that the younger ones were learning this in the Catechism class, question 25. How does Christ execute the office of a priest? And the answer in the Catechism is helpful, and it's this: Christ's executes the office of a priest, and there are two parts. His once offering up of himself as a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and reconcile us to God. That has reference to the time at Calvary when Jesus offered up his own body as the sacrifice. And as the priest, he makes that sacrifice, which is the only sacrifice that's truly acceptable before God. And then in the second part, we read, he executes his office of a priest in making continual intercession for us. For us. So it's two parts. As I said, the first part belongs to this work of redeeming us. And when Jesus finally dies on the cross, you'll remember one of his last words, "It is finished," which is a cry and a shout affirming that the work of redemption has been done. Sometimes we talk about redemption being accomplished. He has done the work that the Father gave him to do. He has paid that huge price, which no other man could pay. He has borne the penalty that God requires for my sins and your sins. And he has reconciled. That means he's brought us back to God. Read these words in Colossians 1:21. "And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death." That this is what Jesus has done for us when he died on that cross. So that now you and I can say what it says at the beginning of this chapter in Romans 8 verse 1. "There is now, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus because of what he's done as the high priest." But this evening, my concern is on the second part, which is he executes his office as a high priest in making continual intercession for us. Now this is looking at what was in our reading, but what Jesus is doing now. Because having accomplished the redemption of his people, there is now a work and a time when one by one the full number of God's children are being brought to faith. And the work that he did at Calvary is being applied one by one to all of God's children, all those whom the Father chose from before the foundation of the world. We read in Hebrews 7:25, which is the other text which speaks directly about his intercession, these words. "Therefore, he," that is Jesus, "is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." And that verse stresses the importance of Christ's intercession to our receiving of his salvation. And that is one of the points I want to stress this evening. As you reflect on this, we have to say what wondrous love the Lord has shown to us in dying for us. But he not only died for us, but we must also understand that he continues to actively intercede for us now in heaven. Well, what I want to do with the time I've got left is to try and explain a bit more about what it means that Christ is interceding for us at the right hand. What does that mean? We can use the word, but it's harder to perhaps explain what's the substance or the content of that. I want to present to you some answers to this question. First of all, Jesus Christ intercedes for us with the Father by appearing constantly in the presence of God for us. He appears constantly in the presence of God for us. At the beginning of Hebrews, we have the confirmation of what happened after Jesus had done his work at Calvary. In Hebrews 1, verse 3, we read, "When he had by himself purged our sins," that's a reference to his work at Calvary, "he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty." And that's how we think and understand the current situation of the Lord Jesus now. He is sat down at the right hand of the Majesty. But we read a little bit more in Hebrews 9:24. "Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands," that's human temples, "which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." And again, that's stressing that Jesus Christ is now in the presence of God. And his very presence at the right hand is in itself one of the ways in which Jesus is interceding for us. I'll try and explain what I mean. When Christ ascends as the victorious Saviour into heaven, his work on earth, we know, has been done. He has paid the price. He has risen from the grave. He has paid the debt. But now he appears constantly before the presence of God. He's at that right hand. He's exalted on his heavenly throne. And as he stands there, or he sits there, as he reigns there, he is the one who has earned salvation for us, because he lived a perfect life and he shed his blood and paid the complete price for our sins. So he has all the rights and all the claims on our salvation because of what he has done. He is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He is worthy. And the very one who is worthy has the most prominent place in heaven. And his very presence there is an affirmation and a statement that I am worthy to every single one of the children whom you have given me. And so his very presence in heaven is an act of intercession. Remember, by his precious blood, that sacrifice was accepted by the Father. He doesn't leave this work. Remember, this is part of his office as the high priest. There is a constant and a living and a continuing testimony of the Lord Jesus' presence at the right hand. And he is there because on the heart and on the mind of Jesus, he goes into heaven with a great understanding and a desire that he be joined, he's the first fruits, that he be joined by all those whom the Father has given to him. That is his great desire and will. And be assured, the Father will not deny the Son, because it's the will of the Father also. However, I think we can go a little bit further and say that when the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted in heaven, the focus of his activity and mind is upon us, his sheep. The bridegroom greatly desires to be with the bride. Christ loves his sheep. He does not wish or intend to be separated from any single one of them. He eagerly desires the full redemption of every single one of us who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a great encouragement to us tonight. I was reflecting, you may say, well, I'm just one of the weak ones. My faith is so small. He will not be separated from any one of his children. His preoccupying work is having accomplished redemption on earth, now my children, my people, must be brought to me. That's his desire. And that's his intercessory work. And it's gone on year by year by year for the last 2,000 years and will go on until Christ returns. And there is this active, continuing, constant intercession with the Father on our behalf. We read in Hebrews 7, he always lives to make intercession. That a parallel is being drawn between the continuing life of the Lord Jesus Christ and his continuing intercession before the Father. This is a preoccupying task of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ interceded for his flock, for his disciples, time and time again. How often do we find him in prayer, often all night in prayer, for his children, for his disciples? Famously, and if you have the chance to, well, you have a chance, please read John 17 again. It's one of those chapters in the scriptures which reminds you of, it's known as the Lord's high priestly prayer. And before he dies, he presents his burdens and his prayers to his heavenly Father. And he says words like these, John 17:20. I do not pray for these alone, speaking about the 12. But also for those who will be with me through their word, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. He prays, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. And this is the great desire of Christ, that we might behold his glory, his heavenly glory. And now he is at the Father's right hand, and his great will and desire is his children, his those whom the Father has given him, the elect ones, be brought, and one by one, to the full number. Now, at the right hand, he continues that ministry of intercession. And we should think of him as the one who presents us to the Father. He pleads for us before the Father. And his plea is righteous and it's always effective. And when I say to you he pleads for us before the Father, please don't misunderstand me. I don't think the scriptures lead us to think that the Lord Jesus in some way is begging the Father, or on his knees in that way, nothing of the sort. He is asking the Father for what the Father wills. And what the Father wills is what Jesus is asking for. There is a complete agreement here. For the Lord Jesus Christ, having laid down his life, he has carried out the purpose and plan that the Father gave to him when he sent him into this world. And so it greatly delights the Father that the Son has completed his work perfectly. And it is the great desire of the Father to bring all his children in. And that's how we're to think about this intercession. But it's a mighty work. There is no other man who can do this work. He is the only one equipped for this work. And while our emotions go up and down and our experiences go up and down, his constancy is the same. His will be done. Because his work is perfect and complete. And his intercession is precious to us and for us. Remember, we have an advocate with the Father. Who is it? Jesus Christ, the righteous one. That's the best. That's the best. I often think, in human terms, people talk about having obtained a very good lawyer in their case. We have Jesus Christ, the righteous one, as our advocate before our Heavenly Father. There is no one better. And it is Christ now who's at the right hand of God who makes intercession for us. So first of all, he intercedes for us by his constant appearing in the presence of God. Secondly, I want to say to you that Christ intercedes for us with the Father in order to obtain our personal acceptance with the Father. This is a very important matter. God the Father accepts us personally in Christ and only in Christ. It's a wonderful truth. If you believe in Christ, God the Father will never turn you away, because you are united to his Son and you are received by him. Ephesians 1 verse 5 reminds us that we are accepted, you know the words, in the Beloved. We are accepted in the Beloved. And because the Father so greatly loves his Son, and if you are united to his Son, you are greatly loved by God. And as the Father can never deny his Son, he will not deny you if you are saved and belong to his Son. There is no hesitancy in the Father. He delights in the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he delights to grant and to give and to bring every single one of his children. Our Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to his troubled disciples in the upper room, in John 14, well-known words, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And then he says, "I go to prepare a place for you." And I think we are to think about the Lord Jesus Christ now as he's exalted to the right hand of the Majesty. There is a work yet to be completed in the redemption of the sons of God. Not in terms of anything incomplete and what he did at Calvary, but as yet, the full church of the Lord Jesus Christ has not been assembled together, but we will be. And there, if God wills it, there are generations yet unborn who have yet to hear of the name of the Lord Jesus. And they, one by one, will be brought to the knowledge and faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus intercedes to us for us before the Father to obtain our personal acceptance before the Father. And that's very important for our assurance of our faith and our peace and our hope. Thirdly, Christ intercedes for us with the Father in order to silence the accusations of the evil one. And the devil is the accuser of the brethren, isn't he? From the very beginning, all the way through Scripture. And the great note of victory is sounded in the reading that we read. Is it verse 33? "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect?" And that's one of those questions where there's a clear answer. And the answer, it's implied directly in the text, but it's not written there. And the answer is rhetorical. No one can do it. Who can bring a charge against God's elect? Satan is silenced. All accusers are silent. Why? Because he has died. The price has been paid. Why? Because he's been raised from the dead. And we are considered righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ because he is righteous and we belong to him. And thirdly, no one can make a charge against God's elect because the Lord Jesus Christ is the intercessor. He stands at the right hand and he will not permit for any voice to be raised against the work that he has done. And he will not permit or allow for his work of salvation to be challenged in any way. In heaven, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You may remember that this Jesus refers to this intercessionary work even during his ministry. He spoke to to Peter, and he said to Peter, "Satan desired to have you, to accuse you." Yeah? Satan desired to have you. And Jesus said, "But I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. I say to you, the prayers of Christ not only continue at the right hand of the Majesty, but they are even more powerful there." And it's because Jesus Christ is now exalted as our Lord and our Saviour. The work having been done, the days of humiliation are over. And so he now stands in the full merits of the redemption he's purchased with his blood. You cannot contest or challenge him now at the right hand. Who can refuse him now? Satan will fail utterly, and no one can snatch any one of his children out of his hands. This is how we should think about the Lord's intercession. Satan silenced, completely effective and successful, a powerful intercession. Fourthly, Christ intercedes for us with the Father to enable our weak labours to be accepted in his sight. We fail daily, don't we? Just think about the last week. Think about the things we ought to have done that we haven't done. The times when we know we have sinned against the Lord. And we continue weekly with struggling with sins. We find ourselves confessing sins time and time again. We find ourselves praying that the Lord will help us over besetting sins. And think about our worship or our service to the Lord. Even our best worship and our best service to the Lord. It's often weak and really it's poor. We have to acknowledge that in ourselves we fall far, far short of God's glory. And yet, our great high priest stands to make intercession for us. And if we serve him, or we pray to him, and we believe in his name, or we're working for him, our labours in the Lord, the scripture tells us, they're not in vain. And when we are despairing, we must remember the verse that we read here in Romans 8:34. It is Christ who died, and furthermore, he's also risen. And he's even at the right hand of God. And also, he makes intercession for us. There's a confidence that we have not in ourselves, for we can find none. But there's a great confidence in him and the effective continuing intercession for us by him. What a Saviour we have. What a High Priest we have. We're reminded in 2 Peter 2:5 that we were encouraged, actually, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. So we're called to offer up sacrifices of service and praise to the Lord, and they can be accepted to acceptable with God because they're offered through our intercessor, our mediator. When we serve him, those weak labours of our hands, our pathetic praise, weak as it is, it's acceptable to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's part of his intercession, that what we offer up to him, he presents to the Heavenly Father for us. It's always in and through him. And fifthly and finally, I want to say to you, not only do we depend upon the priestly work of Christ, I want to say to you that Christ intercedes for us with the Father to give us confidence and boldness, especially in prayer. Especially in prayer. As we meditate on the greatness of Christ's work at Calvary and his continuing intercession for us at the right hand, we should come with more confidence in prayer. Why do I say that? We can approach the throne of his grace. It's a place of mercy. There's a welcome there if we're believing in Christ. We can approach that throne of grace with confidence that our weak prayers are in the hands of a mighty intercessor. And that's why the weak prayers of faithful men and women can avail much. Remember that. We obtain, not by our prayers, but we obtain through our prayers, through the Lord Jesus Christ, great things. And he is the one who takes our prayers and presents our prayers and our worship before the Father. We read in Hebrews 4 this encouragement. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who who has passed through the heavens, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I said to you this evening that Christ intercedes for us with the Father by appearing constantly in the presence of God for us. He obtains our personal acceptance with the Father. He silences the accusations of the evil one. He enables our weak efforts to be not only accepted, but welcomed by our Heavenly Father. And he gives us confidence and encouragements to be bold, and gives us boldness when we pray. So I say to you, seek no other intercessor. Thank the Lord, God of heaven, that he's given us such a one. Don't pray to the saints. Some people pray to saints. They seek the intercession of saints. They say, this person's a very good person and they died. So if I pray to that person, maybe they can intercede for me with God. But that's a nonsense. When we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the intercessor, there's no one to be compared to him. All other intercessors will fail. He will never fail if you trust and believe in him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he's devoted himself to this work. I think, surely when you think about that example of his love to us, doesn't it constrain us to love him? If he represents and speaks about his flock so much at the right hand of the majesty, shouldn't we be full and speak much about him while we live for a few more years on this earth? We surely will speak about him much when we see him. As I was coming in, I said to Peter, he said to me, what are you preaching on this evening? I said, the intercession of Christ. And Peter asked me a question. Well, he said something quite interesting. He said, where would we be without the intercession of Christ? Where would we be without the intercession of Christ? And I'll just add one more comment. Consider where we will be with the intercession of Christ. Yeah. Thanks be to God for his Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen.